This Gamertag episode is brought to you by Gamefly. If you've ever wanted to try a game before you bought it, you should try Gamefly. It's the best way to buy and rent all your favorite games and movies. They're the leading video game rental service with over 9,000 titles to choose from. Just pick your favorite games and have them mailed straight to your door. Then keep them for as long as you want and never worry about late fees. Plus, you can cancel at any time. Visit Gamefly.com/Gamertag to start your free 30-day trial today. That's Gamefly.com/Gamertag.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Ladies and gentlemen. Worldwide. Podcasting since 2005. You're listening to Gamertag Radio. With your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
Welcome to Gamertag Radio, episode 569. This is your host, Danny. And joining us this week, my weekly co-host, Pete.
What's up?
Good, man. Good. Just pumped for E3 2016 and also our annual E3 2016.
Yeah, I can't wait. I need to reestablish my dominance at Roscoe's. So, Paris, the challenge has been put forth.
I've already told you I'm tapping out on E3. I'm doing it.
Well, also, guys, Paris is in the house, too. Paris.
We're in the action, man, Paris. Good job.
Look, I'm going camping right after E3 with a whole bunch of the gym squad. And I can't be all bloated and filled with sugar and salts. So no E3 for me. Sorry. I'm not doing it.
You're going camping. You need to store fat.
I don't need to store fat. I need to not have a shirt on the whole time I'm walking around. I can't be all spool up. I gotta play it smart.
Are you planning to do that during E3? Because you did that a couple years ago, and we had a listener that was like, "Man, that's unprofessional." Paris wearing a tank top during E3.
Well, actually, if you remember in the chat, I posted the shirt that I'm gonna wear during the Xbox press conference. So no, I'm not. I don't know if I'm wearing a tank top. I haven't decided yet. I haven't laid out my outfits yet, but I got a couple shirts I know I'm going to wear during E3.
Yeah, it was pretty funny. A couple of years ago, Paris was wearing a green tank top for the Xbox press conference and then a blue one for the PlayStation press conference. It was perfect
that day. Yeah, it was hilarious. It was funny.
That was hilarious. Yeah, man. So I can't wait for this year, man. I'm pumped. I think this year is going to be a very interesting one for us, man. So I'm excited. Excited, man. All right. So head over to gamertagradio.com or play.it/gamertag. Listen to our past episodes and make sure to share with your friends, family, cousins, best friends, enemies, anybody. just share it with them and let them know about GTR. Also, give us a call, 786-273-7GTR. That's 786-273-7GTR. Email us, fanmail@gamertagradio.com. And also, you could find us different places, Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and other podcast directories. And if you're listening to this through iTunes, make sure to review us and help us keep the show top of the charts. It will help us big time. All right. And we have a lot of content. But before we start talking here about different topics, can you believe it has been 10 years since the announcement of Half-Life 2 Episode 3? Still nothing. What's going on with Valve, man? It's been 10 years already. 10 years.
I actually got a question for you.
Yes.
Have you played Episode 1 and Episode 2?
Yes, I have.
Okay.
I played it through
the Orange Box.
Orange Box. Which again, if you go back to 2007, that's why that's one of the greatest gaming years ever. Orange Box was on all the consoles as well. Imagine the original Portal was thrown into that. It's just, dude, that was such a value back then. I don't think people even realized it at the time. But no, yeah, I've played all the Half-Life games. I've played a lot of the different mods and stuff as well. No, the reason I ask that is because, like, you're bringing up the thing with Gabe and just it's been 10 years now and nothing. I think Valve's entire business model and their way of thinking has completely changed in that time. I mean, yeah, we've gotten, you know, a Portal 2 and they've done some Left 4 Deads and things like that along the way, but game development is no longer their primary focus. Their focus is Steam, creating VR, and just, you know, having the whole streaming as a service, games as a service. That's their thing. It's like we were talking a couple of weeks ago about Epic, in that they only make games that are passion projects now, and they're not doing the big AAA stuff like the Gears of War anymore. That's why they sold off the license to Microsoft, because they make so much money off their Unreal Engine licensing out. Same with Steam. Mm-hmm. They're making so much money off of Steam and creating these services around Steam that making a game isn't their primary goal anymore. If they make one, fine. But if they don't, like they're not going to put out Episode 3 or Half-Life 3 or whatever it's going to eventually be called until Gabe deems that it's perfect. It's going to have to be something that they feel so good about. All right, fine. Let's go ahead and put it out. Because I guarantee you that game has probably been started and stopped probably a dozen times in the past 10 years. And who knows what's going on right now. I mean, I can't even put a Ms. Leo on it because Ms. Leo can't even see the tea leaves that if a Half-Life 3 is coming out, who knows?
Do you think it is in development, like in some back like office, like Steam room or something like that, you know, like at the Valve headquarters where they're just waiting for the people to give up hope for this game and then they drop it?
No, I think there's some version of Half-Life 3 running on some monitor somewhere at Valve, but I think it needs to be perfect. I think for them, I think it needs to be, all right, this is the logical next step. This is relevant in 2016, 2017 gaming at the moment. We feel proud enough about this to put it out. And if they're not, they're going to sit on it and they're going to probably redo it again. Hmm. I think.
Every year we always think that this could be the year for Episode 3, but I just gave up. I'm like, if it happens.
Danny, you know? Remember, yeah. And I can't remember what year of E3 this was. This might have been 2011, maybe 2012, mm-hmm. up in there somewhere. Remember, Valve was they had a venue, they're having a press conference, we got the invites, everything. They're having like their own standalone thing, and everyone was buzzing about it. And then the last minute, they canceled it. I think that was the year. I think that was the year they were going to do it. And then something happened and Gabe said, nope, we're not doing it. You remember that?
I think that was for the Steam machine, though.
No. This was way before all that. That's what I'm saying. This was I want to say 2011. 2010, 2011, because I was convinced. I was like, you know what? I was still doing Uncle Gamer. So this was 2011. It had been 2011 because I was still doing Uncle Gamer because I was speculating on it big time. We had the invite. I had an invite to the event, and then they canceled it last minute. Like I want to say a week before E3. And I think Portal 2 got announced that year. I think, but it had to have been more than Portal 2. Had to have been more.
2012 or 2011?
2012, maybe,
because I remember I want to say there was some time in 2012 where like I think Gabe actually responded to an email or something like that from a fan about it, and he said that they were going to attend, but then it all like everything else, Half-Life 3 just poof and smoke just disappeared.
Yeah, we'd have to go do our research. Thanks a lot for the last minute, this Danny. We have no facts. We don't have hashtag facts.
It's all good. By the way, you guys ready? Let's talk about Nintendo very quick. Nintendo had the Nintendo president have been having like interviews here and there, and there's been a lot of things that have been popping off. Like now, Nintendo is focusing more on maybe creating some movies, you know, through their IPs. You know, in the past, they tried to do one from especially the Super Mario Brothers, and I think they just Nintendo rather focus on themselves handling that instead of somebody else, right? So they've been talking that they're probably going to be doing that, and they know that Legend of Zelda is one of the big franchises that I think the fans been requesting this for years, make a Legend of Zelda movie and stuff. So they've been talking a little bit about that, but also the thing that I've been wondering, has been the Nintendo NX, and they also been talking a little bit about that. Of course, mobile gaming and everything. So here's an interesting one about the price. And the president of Nintendo says that they can't sell this console at loss. The final price is going to be determined by balancing ideas based on compared to the what was out there right now with the, you know, with the PlayStation 4 and also Xbox and so on. I think that's a reason why Nintendo doesn't want to announce the NX during E3, because now that companies know that Microsoft and Sony are going to be releasing details about the new hardware, which the rumors have been going around for a couple of weeks, it's better for them to make this move after E3, have their own press conference, let that console shine more than the ones from PlayStation and Microsoft. So it makes a lot of sense. So the question is Nintendo going to announce this during or before the holiday season, early February, which I think it was Sony that announced the PlayStation 4 that had a media event during, when was it, 2013? Was it 2013, Paris, in New York City? They had like a private event over there, Sony?
Yeah, that was 2013. February 2013. Mm-hmm.
And look, it made a huge buzz. It made a huge, huge buzz. You know, so I think it's a very smart idea for them to do that. And at the same time, release the console in March. And then during the holidays of 2017, push it even more with more games, you know. So, but are your thoughts, guys, about these Nintendo comments of, you know, the movies and having a new console and everything? Your thoughts?
I don't think a movie is the answer to Nintendo's prayers right now. I mean, I'm sure that there's a want from fans around the world, mm-hmm, for a Nintendo based movie, and I'm trying not to bring up that atrocious, you know, Mario Brothers movie from years back.
Mm-hmm.
It almost seems like they're trying to deflect attention to their NX, and they're trying to see what Nintendo's trying to do is they're trying to hold off from confirming anything NX based until after hopefully Sony or Microsoft show their cards at E3.
Well, here's one quote about the price at the end. I'm going to read the end part of this quote. Because this is a new platform, we can make it more expensive. Do you think it's going to be more expensive than Microsoft's new hardware or PlayStation 4?
No. No, I highly doubt that they're going to go anything above $299 with this thing. Because you got to get the consumers back in. You got to sell the consumers on Nintendo again, right? Right now, yeah. The Wii U sales have shown that consumers don't believe enough in a Nintendo console to throw a bunch of money at it. Because remember, even if you go back to original Wii U, I think a lot of us were saying from day one, this thing costs too much, man. You know, and it was confusing with the different hard drive sizes and all that, and just never made sense. So I think they're going to go back to what they did with the original Wii U and make this a consumer friendly, affordable price to attract the mom and pops of the world to run out to Best Buy and Costco and all that to go grab this thing day one, versus what they did with the Wii U, which created just a bunch of confusion, a lot of people being hesitant because of the higher price.
Well, here's some more rumors about the NX. Shout out to Emily Rogers. She's a good friend of mine. We always talk via Twitter. I've been trying for a long time to have her on the show, but she just doesn't like to do interviews at all. But she always gets a lot of a lot of news behind the scenes about Nintendo. So shout out to her. It says she was saying that in terms of raw power, NX is much closer to Xbox One than PlayStation 4. Claims that NX is quote unquote two times the power of PlayStation 4 GPU are not correct. And NX will most likely not compete directly with PlayStation 4 Neo or PlayStation 4K, whatever you want to call it, in raw power. Your thoughts?
Not surprised. Nintendo's never really been one to push the envelope from a technological standpoint. I mean, mm-hmm. if the rumors are true and they're not going to use an x86 architecture like the PS4, the Xbox One, and the rumor of them going towards Tegra as their GPU, which is more commonly found in tablets, like Nvidia Shield is what I use, you know, what I have. It makes sense since Nintendo games typically don't draw upon major GPU heavy type games. You don't typically see things like Uncharted 4s, you know, games that bring you that super graphical immersion onto your screen. They usually do that experience based on the actual gameplay, and they don't rely so much on graphics and prettiness. That being said, I think it's a mistake. I mean, you've seen it. They've always come behind with, you know, whether it's from a processing power or, you know, they're always just catching up to the latest graphic trends. Unfortunately, it almost seems like that's they're doing the same. They're not moving forward and trying to keep up from a technological standpoint. I think it's a big mistake, me personally.
I don't in this sense. They're obviously, and EA kind of touched on this in their financial call as well. They're obviously not chasing third party. So Nintendo is doing Nintendo, and like even mentioned, you know, they're still relying on their strong exclusive IPs because, you know, I've said it a million times, Nintendo is the greatest game developer in the world, right? So they're not chasing after third party development studio or third party publishers to bring games to whatever this NX is going to be. They're basically doubling down on what they do best. And if you think about it, they were successful doing this with the Wii, right? I think the controller of the Wii U was the big stumbling block that scared third-party publishers away and just consumers in general, right? So they're doubling down on, look, we know we can make great games that people want to buy. We're gonna go off in the right field, do our thing, make it at a reasonable price, and we think consumers are going to come back that way. I don't think there's a right or wrong answer to that. I think we won't really know until we actually get the unveil of what this hardware is going to be and what it's going to do. If it's doing something truly unique and innovative in the gaming space, people, just like with the original Wii, are going to be interested in that, and they're going to chase it down, and they're going to want to have that system in their home. So I don't think them not competing directly with Microsoft and PlayStation power-wise matters, because if they're still giving us unique Mario, Zelda, Metroid, Donkey Kong, Pikmin, etc., you know, Splatoon experiences, people will want those. I know I will. I'm sure you guys would, right? So as long as they make the price reasonable and they make it interesting towards their core audience, they're still going to be relevant. They're still going to be Nintendo. That's the one advantage Nintendo will always have over their competitors, in that they have a unique portfolio that no one else in the world can match.
So essentially, middle finger to the third party, and they're just
not necessarily Nintendo? Not necessarily middle finger. They're basically telling them, look, we're doing us. We're doing what we want to do. If you want to be on board with that, we're more than happy to have your games on our system. But if you're not, we still have the catalog that will attract consumers to our system.
Putting the onus on the developers / publishers versus, you know,
they're basically
instead of forcing them to come over to Nintendo, come over if you want, we'll be here, but you just have to play with our tools.
Basically. It's basically what they're saying. We're not going to get into the arms race that Microsoft and Sony's having right now. We're going to keep doing what we do. We're going to create unique gaming experiences that the other two can't do. Because look, and now I'm tangenting slightly. If you think about it, Kinect and Move do not exist without that Wii remote. That forced Sony and Microsoft thinking, crap, we got to try and compete with Nintendo because consumers are running out getting this Wii remote. They want to play games on the Wii. We need to do something like that too. That was the direct answer to that were the Avatars, Kinect, and Move. And none of them succeeded, right? So Nintendo's banking, we can recreate that again. They tried to do it with the Wii U controller, and they were already a couple years behind because iPads and mobile devices surpassed that controller. So now they obviously must think they have something with this NX that's going to raise the stakes again, and it's going to make Sony and PlayStation react to what they're doing versus them having to react to what they're doing. In my opinion, that's just what I think.
Here's the thing, too, that a lot of listeners don't know. We usually attend a lot of the press conferences from third party, and they always invite Nintendo, Sony, and Microsoft to those press conferences. I believe the year Paris of the donut press conference EA, you remember that?
Yeah.
So originally I got moved to the front. I believe I was with Pete. We were sitting next to with the YouTube gaming guys over there, and right next to us there was a table there that was reserved for Nintendo. So we were like, man, okay, maybe they're going to... I was thinking at that time, man, they're probably going to have some announcements for Nintendo, and there was no announcements at all. But the reason is because third-party companies always have to have that pretty good relationship with Nintendo, Sony, and Microsoft, even if there's no games coming out for their consoles, but they still have to have that pretty good relationship. I think last year, somebody was going back and forth with Peter Moore about the Nintendo Wii U, if they're ever going to create any games for that console. And I can't remember exactly what was the conversation, but he kept it cool. And like, hey, they are our partners. We have great relationship with them and everything.
Well, that's a business discussion. That's a business discussion. You never burn that bridge when you're leaving.
At all.
You never do that. So you always ensure that you keep that rapport with whether it's a business partner or, an employee or an employer. You never want to burn that bridge. So, I mean, that's just common business practice. That's just smart business, to be honest with you. It's not like, you never want to burn that bridge. Sorry.
If they do sell a lot of units, eventually it's going to make a lot of these third-party companies to start making games for the console too in the future. So that's more money for them too, man. So right now they're just keeping an eye like, okay, is it going to be successful or not? So we'll see what's going to happen once this new console releases and stuff. So, Paris, very quick. I know Pete talked about this a couple minutes ago. The whole rumor about the NX handheld to be powered by NVIDIA Tegra. What are your thoughts about that, man? Very quick.
Isn't the 3DS also powered by an NVIDIA chip? I'm pretty sure it is. So not a huge surprise, really. I mean, if you're gonna do something in the mobile space, I mean, NVIDIA is probably the leader right now, as far as those socks go on the mobile devices. So why not? Makes sense.
Makes sense. All right, cool. Well, before we also go to fan mail and also our E3 prediction, can't wait for that. I'm excited for that one too. Paris, you a fan of Gran Turismo, and I believe P2P, are you a fan of Gran Turismo back in the days?
I'm not really a sim racer fan. I'm more of the arcadey blur, Need for Speed, Burnout type racer guy, but we can definitely talk about it.
Well, there's a new Gran Turismo Sport game that's coming out for the PlayStation 4. I don't know. I'm not really too excited about it. I was expecting a lot more, but so far, based on the previews from a couple of gaming websites, it's not something that's going to be, I don't know, compared to like the past Gran Turismo, they're always making it better and better and better. This one seems like a decent game. It's not like mind blowing or anything like that. But what are your thoughts, Paris? Cause you're a fan of racing games.
Okay. And you're crazy. And the link that you sent me from Eurogamer, he's crazy too. So, okay. Excuse me.
No, I'm just saying. I just saw that.
Here's the thing.
Yeah.
This isn't Gran Turismo 7. This is literally, if you want to compare it to what Microsoft does with the Forza series, this is their Forza Horizon. This is the stopgap game in the middle year before they actually get to the proper release of Gran Turismo 7.
And makes sense.
Yeah, it's iterating on some things that's coming from GT6, which if you've played that on the PlayStation 3, it's a fantastic game. And I'm not going to say I'm excited for it, like, oh my God, this is changing sim racing, but it looks beautiful to me from the trailer that I saw. And the fact that we're getting 137 cars, they're going to have like 37 track layouts as well in 19 locations. I'm down. It's going to be a fun racing sim to have on the PlayStation 4. Is it innovating racing sims? Absolutely not. Does Polyphony Digital need to come with it when Gran Turismo 7 happens? Abso-frickin-lutely they do, because here's the thing. Turn 10 is catching up every year with the Forza series. It is getting closer and closer in quality to what Polyphony Digital is doing with Gran Turismo every year. So is this going to change racing? No. But if you're a racing fan, if you love racing sim games, we now have a Gran Turismo equivalent on PlayStation 4. And I think any hardcore racing sim fan would be crazy to not pick it up in November. I mean, obviously, we'll get more information here coming into E3 and later on. But right now, I definitely got my eyes on it for sure.
Is it more? Are you more hype than Drive Club?
I was thinking of it.
I'm not even going to say his name. I'm just going to say yes. But there's a certain person out there on the internet that thinks Drive Club is the greatest game ever made, and they're horribly mistaken. It's all right.
Okay, just in case.
Hashtag facts.
Wow.
Hashtag facts.
Shots fired. All caps.
Yes.
All right, let's take a moment and get a word from our sponsor, Gamefly. Are you ready to save money and play more games? Gamefly is the best way to buy and rent all your favorite games. Just go to gamefly.com/gamertag, pick your favorite games, and have them mailed directly to your door. Gamefly is the leading video game rental service. Over 9,000 titles to choose from. It lets you try your favorite games and movies before you buy. Keep the games as long as you want. You'll never have to worry about late fees, and you can cancel at any time. They also offer movie rentals too. So go to gamefly.com/gamertag. Start your free premium 30-day trial today. The premium trial allows you to check out two games or movies at a time. You can only get this offer by going to gamefly.com/gamertag. So sign up today. Look, we talked about this a couple weeks ago. You're listening to a video game podcast, so obviously you love gaming. You know, gaming can be an expensive habit. So with our offer, you get a month for free. You get to have two games at a time, get on any system that you want, platform that you want, get to check out the games. And if you love the service, hey, mm-hmm. you just keep it going after 30 days, just sign up and keep it going. It's a great service. I used to use Gamefly all the time back in the day. I'm now using this trial now because there's some games that I do want to check out on some systems. And hey, why not? You're getting the premium trial for 30 days. So again, go to gamefly.com/gamertag. Sign up for that 30-day premium trial today.
Definitely. And one more thing. We've been talking a lot about these games that's coming out now, you know, and you know, like Uncharted, another one, Doomed, I believe Mirror's Edge is coming out. Try those games out before you buy it. This is like a great opportunity for 30 days, right, Paris? That's a great way.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. You can pick and choose.
Definitely, man. All right, so we're now going to go to fan mail.
Fan mail at gamertagradio.com.
Fan mail. All right, P, how was that? How was that? In your opinion, was that good enough?
I'd give it a 6, maybe a 7. Not as bad as last week, but...
Yeah, last week was off. Yeah,
last week.
I was like, wait.
I even recorded some. Like, I woke up this morning and you know, was getting ready for the show. I actually recorded a couple of instances. So if you want to use those, by all means, go right ahead.
Okay. All right.
I'd give it a 43, personally.
Oh, 4.3. Wow. 4.3. There you go. All right. So we have a first question here. This is from Mario. He was like, hey, guys, great show today. Are you going to put on a live show for E3? Mari, just in case you're a new listener, every year for the past 11 years now, we've been posting content live from E3, daily content, multiple content like roundtables, interviews, all type of stuff during the week of E3. Doesn't matter which type of app you're using to get our content, but we're going to have a lot of episodes up. Last year, I believe we put up between 25 to 30 episodes during the week of E3. And, you know, the past few years, we've been getting a lot of exclusive interviews, too. You know, we had Phil Spencer in the past, Aaron Greenberg. We also had Ubisoft, which I believe it was a Rainbow Six. That was like 2-3 years ago. We had an interview with them about the game. So we are working on getting some pretty cool interviews and also behind the scenes stuff during the show. So I'm pretty pumped. And this is probably going to be our biggest year yet. So make sure to be subscribed and stay tuned. We're going to have more details about our coverage in the coming weeks. So Paris P, if you'd like to say anything else before we go to the next question, go for it, man. About E3.
I'm stoked.
Hello?
I'm stoked.
Okay.
I'm excited. I mean, there's nothing really much we can say. I mean, I don't know how else we're going to. You know.
What was that? I was like,
it's just funny because it was a delay. And then Dan's all, hello? Hello?
It's all good. It's all good. Yeah. All right. So you guys have any other emails?
Yes. I would like to read this one for two reasons. It's from Jaroslaw. I hope I'm saying his name correctly. He doesn't say where he's from, so apologies if I'm misspelling it. But I got to say, with my dyslexic mind, I saw Jawa, and I just want to say, oh, TD. I just want to say that so bad. Yeah. But he said, but he says, hi, GTR crew. I'm thinking of selling / trading my Xbox One. Most games play on PlayStation 4, and I prefer PS4 a little bit more than Xbox. What I need is you, and he does it in all caps, to tell me not to sell and why. Please, Danny, make me Emerald again. Question.
Why me?
Because he knows Emerald, go to Danny. Question. What if on E3, Phil Spencer will present not an Xbox 1.5, but the next Xbox? It will be backwards compatible with Xbox One and 2 times more powerful than PlayStation Neo. Thanks and hope for more laughs with GTR. New intro is so awesome, man. Thank you. So, Danny, sell them. Go for it. Let us know.
Well, look, man. Look. I'll tell you this. If you sell your console like Paris, eventually you guys are going to come back based on announcements in the future. So of games that's coming out in the future and stuff. So I'm not even worried. If you feel like you want to sell your console, go for it, man. I'm like this, man. I have all the consoles and I feel like I'm not missing anything. So if there's any exclusives for PlayStation 4, I already have the console. I could buy the game and, you know, with no issues, you know, so it's up to you, man. Eventually, based on announcements, it's going to change your mind, man. So before you sell it, just wait and see what happens during E3. Maybe they'll have some big announcements, man. So I don't know. I just feel like I'm not trying to convince people to keep their consoles, man. It's up to you, man. If you want to sell it, man. So
sell it, buy a 1080. Like sell it, buy a 1080, and then you can play it on your PC.
That's right. That's right.
So I had to go there.
So I have another email I want to read, and this is from a female. So thank you, because we don't get enough women actually leaving us feedback on the show. So we know you're out there listening. Please leave us more feedback. This is from Cassandra, and she's saying a couple episodes ago, Paris mentioned Xbox needs that game. I agree 110%. I'm a Gears fan through and through. The original Gears was that game in the early days of the 360, and Microsoft needs Gears 4 to be that game for the Xbox One. It needs to be a system seller like the original was. It's got to deliver on graphics, gameplay, and overall content. They need a single player that looks next gen. It's got to make people say, wow, that's on Xbox, and the multiplayer needs to build on Gears 3 multiplayer, keeping people playing well into next summer. Gears 4 has to be the killer app or that game Microsoft needs. If it flops, it's game over for this console generation. Cassandra, thank you for the email. I agree with the first part of what you're saying. Gears was one of that game, you know, for Xbox 360. People were getting the Xbox 360 to play the original Gears. Absolutely. I tend to slightly agree with you as far as Gears 4 needs to be that game for Xbox One. I don't think it necessarily needs to be Gears 4, but between Gears 4, you know, Crackdown 3, Sea of Thieves, Record, something in that pool of games, you need to point to that and say, this is the reason to have an Xbox One / Windows 10 device to play these type of games. So So I slightly agree with you. I get what you're saying. And the same goes for PlayStation. Like I've said before, to me, finally playing Uncharted 4, I feel like other than playing Destiny all the time, I feel justified now having a PlayStation 4 because of Uncharted 4. You know what I mean? So I totally get what you're saying. Thank you for the email. You know, Pete, you got anything to add to this?
Does it have to be Gears, though, that lifts the banner for Microsoft? Why not ReCore?
That's what I just said.
Okay.
Listen, Pete. Yeah, listen.
All caps. Listen.
All caps. But is it game over for Microsoft if that's not that game?
Nah.
I don't think so, man. I don't think so. They'll be fine. You know, so we'll see.
All right. Well, the next email is from Etter. I think I'm saying it better this time. I apologize for butchering it last time. What's up, crew? Greetings from Mexico. First, my feedback for Uncharted 4, a real masterpiece. Everything seems to be there for a reason, from camera movements to character development and a better gameplay, and it's slower paced. Story-wise, I don't think is as strong as The Last of Us, but just because it's not as dramatic. Now my real question. I recently finished reading Console War by Blake J. Harris. It's a great reading and an obligated one to understand the gaming industry. Can you guys recommend us any books on this topic? Can't wait for your E3 coverage. Thanks a lot.
About this topic, huh? Give me one second. I know I have one here.
Well, I know I can, right off the top of my head, I'd probably say Xbox Revisited from Robbie Bach. I know we had him on the show a couple of months ago to talk about the book on its release. That's a really, really good book to give you some insight as to what happens with the video game industry, especially from a Microsoft perspective. What path did they go from early on in the cycle to development to the 360 to Red Ring of Death, and how they dealt with all of that and then moving forward? So that's one.
Oh yeah, that's a really good one. Yeah, because listen to episode 500, I believe, Pete, right? That's what we had.
Yeah, I think it was.
That's what we had. Yeah. So listen to that episode. We talked about a lot about the book. But here's another one, too. This is from John D. Harrison, Mastering the Game, What Video Games Can Teach Us About Success in Life. Highly recommended. He's also from here, from Florida. I had him on a show a couple episodes ago. So, yeah, look it up. And highly recommend it, man. Highly recommend it. Paris, you have any books?
I do. I have a book. This one came out a few years ago. It's called Extra Lives from Tom Bissell. And he's basically defending video games as an art form. And he's discussing how right now we're in the golden age of gaming, which I totally agree with. It's a really great read. It's not too long. You know, you can get through it, you know, within a week easily. And like I said, it's called Extra Lives, and the author's name is Tom Bissell. And my really dear friend, Jason Van Beveren, gave this to me a couple years ago, and I truly appreciate that. So there you go.
Very cool.
All right. And the last one here is from Kevin. Hey, GTR crew, I have three E3 predictions. Perfect opportunity for us to segue to this after this. First, another studio is working on games from the Banjo-Kazooie and Perfect Dark IPs. Banjo would be a traditional platformer again, and Perfect Dark would be a reboot as third-person stealth action game rather than an FPS. It will be Microsoft's take on a Splinter Cell-type game. Second, Ubisoft, he thinks, will announce a new Splinter Cell game at the end of its conference. The game will be a reboot with a lead spy character. I could have sworn we talked about this.
Yes. We did.
Open sandbox gameplay with drop-in, drop-out co-op. Ubisoft is going to release the new game and the new movie in the same year. Third, a Resident Evil sequel to be revealed. Again, these are fan mail predictions, not ours. It will introduce new characters and return to its survival horror roots after the negative criticism of the sixth main entry, which, by the way, still makes me laugh every time I see that logo. Thanks, Kevin from Ohio.
Huh. Okay, that's not a bad prediction. I think the Perfect Dark as a third person self action game.
No,
I don't see that. Don't see that happening.
Do not do that. Please, God, yeah. Don't do that.
I really not like that at all. But Banjo, I could see that, right, from a different developer working on that game.
Okay, sorry. I think it's a nod to the what we saw in Uncharted 4, and that it's an Easter egg in the game, and I think that just like it kind of feeds into it. I think it would be a great way. If it was an Easter egg in a way of like pushing that up, like to a possible, you know, new release or reboot of that title, I think it's smart marketing. All right. Well, in keeping with the whole females in video games, I know Paris brought this up earlier with the email from Cassandra. I agree. We do need more women in video games, but whether you're wearing a suit or sweats, or you're spending, you know, if you're like Superman and you got your sweats, you've got your underwear on the outside of your uniform, I think it's pretty easy to say everybody wears underwear. But unlike Superman with those big bright red ones on the outside of your outfit, your underwear is probably boring and hopefully clean. Thanks, Mom. Well, MeUndies is here to change that. They've got an amazing array of underwear, pajama pants, and clothes to wear. I know Paris got a pair. I know Danny, I think, got some. And
yep.
I got some for the wife because, and I've said this in the previous read, you know, we need to get a little bit more support for the women in our lives and in video games as a whole. And so I got a set of the MeUndies models for my wife. She got them in, I believe it was a thong and in boy shorts, PJ pants. She loves them. She's probably shouldn't be saying this on a podcast that's listened to, you know, by a lot of people, but typically doesn't like to wear underwear because she doesn't like it riding up. But she does. She likes the MeUndies. She loves them. She actually wears them all the time now. So They have a fabric called Modal, and it's sustainably sourced. It's a fabric that's twice as soft as cotton, and it's a proprietary product from MeUndies. I don't know if they call it the world's most comfortable underwear. She totally agrees with it. And if you don't love the first pair of MeUndies that you get, they're free, no questions asked. All you have to do is go to MeUndies.com/GTR, get a subscription or a single pair. You get 20% off on your first order. Shipping is free in the United States and Canada, and you can save up to $8 a pair with the MeUndies subscription plan. They've got dozens of styles and limited edition prints to help you make a statement with your underwear. Remember, Superman, I think you need to get some. So once again, that's MeUndies.com/GTR for 20% off your first order. MeUndies.com/GTR.
Super, super comfortable. Love it so far, man. All right. So I know, Paris, you sent this in the last minute because we were, you know, getting prepared for the whole episodes and stuff. But you sent in a topic that just was like announced like a couple of days ago about Halo 5 coming to Windows 10. What's that about?
Yeah. So to clarify on that, it's not Halo 5, the entire game. What it is Microsoft has announced that they are bringing Forge over to Windows 10 for Halo 5 so that you'll now be able to create your own custom match and, you know, Forge experiences on your PC using Windows 10 with a keyboard and mouse and be able to export it back over to the Xbox One to be able to play on Halo 5 with all your friends and all the various things. But here's the caveat on that. Mm-hmm. On Windows 10, it will have 4K support, and you'll be able to actually play the custom maps that you create on Windows 10 with keyboard and mouse support on Windows 10. But the gotcha on that is limited to your friends list only. You won't have server lists or people being able to randomly connect to your map. You'll have to invite them to the map via your friends list to be able to play this. So what I've taken from this is this. Halo's coming to Windows 10. It may not necessarily be the full on Halo 5 experience, but I would be shocked and floored if we don't see Halo 6 on Windows 10 whenever that comes out, probably in a couple years. And wouldn't shock me that at E3 we get a Miss Leo and we see that like the Master Chief's collection or something like that comes to Windows 10 as well. So I'm actually excited about this. This is the type of stuff I want to see. We already know Halo Wars is coming to Windows 10, but this is what I want to see. This is my whole point of saying, look, I'm just going to double down and invest on Windows 10 because that's what Phil Spencer basically told me to do, you know, when he had his speech at the Spring Showcase. And Here's more of a sign of it. You know, they're bringing the tools for creation to Windows 10, and you'll also be able to take take whatever you create and put it back on Xbox One. So I'm excited about it. I'm looking forward to this. I'm not talented enough to create a really good Halo map. So I doubt. Oh, and it's free, by the way. So I doubt I'll be able to do anything creative or whatever. But I'm sure we're going to see some unique experiences come out of this. And I even saw on a website somewhere someone jokingly said, well, someone's just going to create a Halo LFG site for Windows 10 so that we can all get together and play these custom maps on Windows 10. So I'm excited. I will definitely take advantage of this on Windows 10.
I mean, for free, that's not bad at all, man. Not bad at all. So if you really want to test out like the other features, then that will probably will make you buy a console if you really want to get like the whole Halo 5 experience. But for something for free, I think this is like the right move for Microsoft. So I like it. Pretty cool.
And I would also like to say, see, here's the thing. If Microsoft is truly just saying that the Xbox One is just a Windows 10 platform device, then Halo's already proven it works on PC, because Combat Evolved, Halo 2 were just fine on the PC. And they obviously never brought over 3 or Reach or 4 or any of that. So let's get back to that. Why should PC gamers be deprived of Halo? If Microsoft doesn't care about this being a console exclusive, let's get Halo back on a PC. Let's give it full keyboard and mouse support, and let's go from there. And if they want to do the whole cross-platform play, Halo's the perfect opportunity to start testing that stuff out with.
Very true. All right, and it's time for E3 predictions.
Hey, darling, this is certified psychic Miss Leo. Now, I can usually tell you things about your future by using the power of my tarot cards. But when it comes to video games, only the guys at Gamertag Radio can give you the E3 2016 predictions. You hear me?
Guys, this time we have what for this episode? Which prediction? We have multiple stuff coming.
Bethesda.
Oh. All right. And Pete, you were the first one last week. I was first a couple weeks ago. And I think it's time for Paris to be the first. Paris.
I think this gives Danny just, you know, a few minutes to go look.
No.
Here's what I think. I think Pete said that because it gives him more time to think about this.
Oh, no, I'm ready. I'll go now. I'm done.
Good, because you're going next, because really I only got one. And that's, I think we're going to get a new Wolfenstein.
Ooh.
At the Bethesda E3 presser, and I also think we will get a look at the new Fallout 4 expansion. That's all I got.
Okay. I have only one, Pete. Can I do this? I only have one, and that's it.
No. Pete's going. No, Pete's going because he swears he's got all this stuff. So you go, Pete. Danny, you wait.
Okay. No, I think I agree with you on the Wolfenstein 2 stuff. New Order sold really well. I know the dev. I think they talked about wanting to do a sequel. I think Fallout 4 DLC goes without saying. I think that's a given. I know Dishonored 2 drops November of this year, so I'm pretty sure we're going to see actual gameplay this time and not that CGI trailer, which I still think was amazing from last year. I'm sticking by my guns. I think we're going to see an Elder Scrolls 6 announcement.
Well, there you go. That's mine right there. Well, of course. Thanks, Pete. I don't have to go now.
Well, we talked about this many, many, many shows ago. I can't remember when we did, but I do remember us talking about it. I know it was a big argument back and forth on fan mail. People didn't like it, but I still think we're going to see it. I know the website for Break, or I'm sorry, not Break, a new Tango Gameworks announcement. We haven't really seen anything really good since the Evil Within or Psycho Break. I know their website was recently redesigned earlier this year, so I think that might be something to look into. Fallout 3 or a Skyrim remaster or a collection. I think it's a good time for that. And I think a new Brink. It's been a while. Reviews were all over the place. Some people said they loved it. I know Giant Bomb destroyed it on their review. I think it's a good opportunity to bring a solid game title back to 2016.
Well, I'm going to take it a step further. I think there might be a collection of Elder Scrolls remastered for PlayStation 4 and also Xbox and maybe Windows. And to get people hype before their new game, which comes out in 2017. That's my prediction. A new Elder Scrolls game, which they're going to tease it at the end of the press conference and release it in 2017. So, I mean, you come all right. Decent prediction, what? Because
I stole your shine. I know. Yeah, I told you. I was ready, dude.
So, Okay. Now, I think they also probably will announce a new IP. Don't know what it is, but we might see a new IP announced during the press conference. And for those that don't know, P and Paris are going to be attending the press conference. And they're also going to have like an after party or an event, I think, after the press conference. Usually when they do that, it's more for like hands-on and interviews and stuff like that. So I'm wondering, where are they going to have over there, for, you know, hands-on at the event? Any predictions from that, guys?
Yeah, because now, Miss Leo, as I'm listening to you talking, I have another prediction.
Okay.
They're going to bring back Quake. And yes, and they're going to show off that multiplayer, and that's going to be playable after the show. And it comes out this year, and it'll be at QuakeCon and the whole thing. That's what I think they're going to do.
This year? Man, yeah, that prediction is... Pete, your thoughts on that? Because Pete kind of quiet.
Yeah, he caught me off surprise with that one there. I wasn't even... Wow.
You got me good there, Paris.
Wow. Yeah, I don't know where else to go with this. Yeah, you caught me. Caught me red-handed.
All right, your thoughts, guys. Head over to GamerTagRadio.com. Post your feedback there. Or call us, 76-273-7GTR. Or email us, fanmail@GamerTagRadio.com. Let us know, do you agree with Paris? Do you agree with all of us? Let us know about your E3 predictions. Just a couple weeks away, E3. Can't wait. Now, very quick. What should be our next E3 predictions for the next episode?
Think of 2K games. 2K, or do you want to go the entire... Do you want to go with the mothership and go with Take-Two?
Yes, because there's Rockstar Games, 2K games. Yeah, we could do that. Okay. We could definitely do that. Paris, you okay with that?
Yeah, I'm fine with that. I didn't know you needed my approval.
No, I need approval for the whole crew. Everybody. We need the whole crew, man. Once everybody agrees with it, we go for it, man. So anything else before we wrap it up?
Yes. And I bring it up because at this point, I don't care because I play the game all the time. I don't care what no one thinks. It leaked out that the next Destiny expansion that'll probably come out in September, and they'll show it at E3 at the PlayStation press conference. It's going to be called Rise of Iron. It sounds like it's going to center around the Fallen and the Iron Lords. Think Lord Saladin with Iron Banner. And the raid that we're potentially going to get will be a Fallen raid, which has me very excited because I've wanted a Fallen raid since day one because I think the Fallen are the most interesting characters in the game. So I'm looking forward to it. I've already thrown my pennies at the screen because I'll be getting it. And look, this is the type of stuff we want, man. If you're playing Destiny, you know, they're keeping the expansions going. We're getting, because they just did it on their Twitch channel. They just had a ride along and went through the King's Fall raid. And at the very end, as they were explaining the lore and everything, they even hinted at, hey, can we talk about the next raid? And Deej said, no, we can't. And then this came out like the next day. And I'm excited for it, man. Because look, you can argue with me all you want, but playing those raids are just some of the best co-op experiences you can have in gaming. So whenever a new raid comes out with Destiny, I'm going to be there day one.
And I know there's some news about Luke Smith.
Oh, yeah. Luke, and again, this is all rumor. Okay, but it sounds like Luke is the lead director for Destiny 2. Like, he went from Taken King and they had a reorg at Bungie, and he was put as the lead guy for Destiny 2, which, hey, if you played the Taken King, I think he did a fantastic job on that. So I'm looking forward to see what his ideas are going to be for Destiny 2.
All right. Well, I hope it's true. That would be cool. And maybe we'll have him on the show if it's official. You never know.
Good luck with that one, but yeah.
Hey, you never know.
But you know what? Know. At a minimum, I'm sure we'll have Deej on again, probably right before this expansion drops this fall, and you know, who knows after that. But we'll at least get Dijon again to talk about Destiny.
Definitely, man. All right, so we're going to wrap it up, guys. Head over to GamerTagRadio.com or play.it/GamerTag and listen to our episodes there. And if you missed our E3 coverage from last year, I highly, highly recommend go back and listen to our older episodes and check it out. That will give you an idea of what's coming for this year's E3. I know we have a lot of new listeners. I'm telling you right now, there's no other podcast out there that posts the most content like us during E3, because we post a lot. Last year, we had between 25 to 30 episodes last year, nonstop. So make sure to subscribe through iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, or TuneIn Radio, or other podcast directories. And yeah, stay tuned. We have a lot of cool plans for E3 2016. Wow, it's going to go to 2017. Whew. I'm ahead of myself. All right. Also, give us a call, 786-273-7GTR. That's 786-273-7GTR. Or email us, fanmail@gamertagradio.com. And that's about it from me. Anything else from you guys?
Can I say one last thing?
Yes.
Look, there's no way in hell I would ever vote for this dude. But Donald Trump on freaking Twitter just cracks me up, because he just said crooked Hillary Clinton. And then he went with the rest of his nonsense. But the fact that he just calls people out and says names just makes me laugh. I still can't believe we live in this world where he actually has a 50-50 shot to be the president of the United States. I still can't believe it.
Yeah, I can't believe it either, man. I have a lot of things to say, man, but I'm not going to say it.
Yeah.
Pete?
No comment.
Pete? Okay,
no comment.
All right. So we're out. Until next time, we are out. Peace.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.